Beloved, Christ is risen. Christos anesti. Christos voskrese. On this Sunday, in this gospel of the healing of the paralytic, we hear a different twist in the many healing miracles we hear of Jesus. For at the Vespers last night, were recounted in the hymns how the centurion came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant, how the Canaanite woman came to Jesus and asked for healing for her daughter, even how the woman with the issue of blood stole healing from Jesus by sneaking up on him and touching the hem of his garment. In so many of the instances of healing, the people approach Jesus and ask him to be healed. But today, Jesus comes to the man and he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" Coming to a place where there are sick people waiting for the stirring of the water that whoever goes in might be healed. We might think that obvious to us. Wouldn't the man want to be healed? But this question of Jesus shows us the depths, in a sense, of God's self-emptying, because he doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't force himself on the sick man. He doesn't walk up to him and say, "I know what's wrong with you, and I'm going to fix you." He comes humbly, meekly, gently, and asks, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man gives Jesus a sort of sideways answer. He doesn't say yes, he doesn't say no or maybe, but he says, "I've been here for this long and I can't get into the water and I can't get healed." He doesn't say to Jesus yes, but he implies it in any case that he wants to be healed. And so Jesus heals him. And the man goes away and he doesn't even know who it is that has healed him. That when they ask him, "Well, who healed you?" "I don't know. Some man. He made me walk." He has to go and find out who it is that healed him. It's almost as though there's a certain carelessness about the man. He doesn't care to find out who Jesus is, not even answering his question directly. And again, this shows us that Jesus meets us precisely where we are in our lives, and he will not bruise our freedom one whit. He can see when we sin, but he doesn't compel us to repent, and he never will. He never will force us to turn to him. He's always waiting there for us, not simply facing us, but even he is within us. And this goes to our baptism, and the image of water in the gospel today is pointing to that. For when we were baptized, if we were old enough, or if we were infants, our godparents did it for us, we were asked questions. Whether we renounce Satan. And we were asked, "Do you unite yourself to Christ?" 3 times. And we or our godparents answered, "Yes, I do unite myself to Christ." That again, God is respecting our freedom. That we say yes to him. He is always calling us, but at that moment of our baptism, we have to answer that question to him. And then, even beyond that, have you united yourself to Christ? "Yes, I have united myself to Christ." That we make a confession in Christ at that moment of our own free will. Again, that Christ will not force us into the baptismal water to unite us to himself, but we come of our own, recognizing sinners that we are, that we need him. And so in being baptized, in freely coming to him in this way, he unites us to himself. And he unites us in a way unlike any way we experience in our life. For St. Paul writes, and we sing at the baptism, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that verb, have put on, it means to put on like we put on our clothes. We put on our clothes in the morning. We are clothed with Christ. But it's much more than that, because at the end of the day, we get out of our clothes, get into our pajamas, and go to bed. We don't take off Christ. He's closer to us than our skin, and indeed deeper than our bones. Deeper than the marrow of our bones, he is united to us in an irrevocable way, a way that cannot be taken away. He is with us. Because we said yes to him at our baptism. But we have more yeses to say throughout our life. Because yes, he is within us, closer to us than we are to ourselves. Always, even when we're sinning, he is within us. But do we allow him to further grow in us, to fill us in his fullness, or do we keep him tightly bound with our fists because we want life our way, because we love ourselves and we want what we want, when we want, how we want it? Or do we release our grip and let Christ grow in us, to fill us fully. As St. John the Baptist points out, and this is for each of us, that he, Christ, must increase, and I must decrease. That is what St. John is hinting at in the greater sense, that our selfishness, our love of self, must decrease so that Christ can grow in us. And he is seen and known in and through us. And this is all possible. All the saints have done it. All these icons we look at, that's how they lived. And for some, it took a whole lifetime, to the moment of their death, to get to that point. And this is open to all of us. Again, that Christ will not force us to allow him to grow in us, but rather he waits on us, as some images show him knocking at a door that has no handle on the outside, because he can't let himself into our heart unless we open from the inside to him. But he already is with us. Beloved, let us open ourselves up to him, the one who is deeper than the marrow of our bones, who is with us now and always, even to the end of the age.